Welcome to Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel. Every week I get to chat to the finance ghost to find out what's going on with the companies that make up a big part of our various pension funds. Right, so Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with, well, one of the biggest companies, and that's Old Mutual. 61 billion rand is their market cap. And they are going to be buying back up to 3 billion rands worth of their own shares. Can you explain why a company would buy its own shares?
Hi, Gary. Hello to all of the listeners. Yes, Old Mutual is a pretty cool example at the moment of a share buyback, although by no means the only example out there or even necessarily the best one. They're just an example. Perhaps most of all, they are a recent example and they are doing quite a meaty buyback. So they received approval at their AGM earlier this year from shareholders to repurchase up to a certain percentage of their shares. I think it was 10% actually. And they are now finally pulling the trigger on roughly half that amount. So there's a few things to unpack here. The first is the why do companies do share buybacks? Well, the simple reason is because if they are sitting on excess capital, then if they pay a special dividend to shareholders, it kind of creates this expectation of bigger dividends flowing in the future. Even though they call it a special dividend and it's made so clear that it's not an ordinary dividend, it still creates this expectation, which is very problematic. And companies don't really get rewarded for doing special dividends. It doesn't improve their earnings per share going forward. It's not a particularly useful tool at all, to be honest. So companies way prefer doing share buybacks when they have excess capital, because what this does is it reduces the number of shares in issue. So if you could imagine, you know, inviting your friends over to share a pizza, if you only have a couple of friends, each of you is getting a bigger slice. Whereas if you have more people, you have to split it among more people. So it's exactly the same principle here when you look at earnings per share. Even if the pizza itself doesn't grow, if you have fewer people you need to share it with, then each person is getting more pizza, which is obviously a good outcome. I mean, who doesn't like more pizza? And so that's what share buybacks do. They reduce the number of shares in issue. They therefore boost earnings per share in years to come. And that's why companies like to do it. So in this case, Old Mutual probably doing the right thing here. Where buybacks don't work is where the shares are just very expensive. So where the company is actually buying them back at an inflated price. I don't think Old Mutual's at any risk of that, really. The share price has been a pretty tepid performer and they're buying it back on a decent valuation. So yeah, pretty good example, really, of how to use share buybacks properly.
Okay, let's deal with now with a stock called Africa Bitcoin Corporation, previously called Altvest. Interestingly, listed on the Namibian Stock Exchange last week. And so have been busy with a number of things. Also released some results this week. Give us an idea of should Namibians be looking at Africa Bitcoin Corporation and what's going on there?
So yeah, Africa Bitcoin Corporation is certainly one of the more interesting ones on the market. And they are not shy to roll the dice. I think that's really the TLDR of this particular company. Whatever they do, they give it a full go. I sometimes cringe a little bit when I look at some of the risks they take, but I also have respect for the fact that they are building in public, which is very hard. A lot of companies like this are typically built privately, away from the public eye. I mean, only once they've actually worked through, you know, the mistakes and the pivots and all that kind of stuff that is so typical of startups, do they then come to market? So Africa Bitcoin Corporation, as it's now called, I still struggle to not use the old name, Altvest, certainly fits into that bucket. And what they are doing now is they are going the Bitcoin treasury company route, which means the group company will own, well, they hope, a lot of Bitcoin going forwards. They have some very ambitious capital raising targets to try and get there. At the moment, it's a lot of branding and a lot of excitement, but not necessarily a lot of Bitcoin. They need to raise a lot of money to actually make it a meaningful thing. So they are raising at the holding company level. And then they also, as you say, recently released results. And this includes the Altvest Credit Opportunities Fund. So here the Altvest name still sticks, which is the one of their underlying classes of shares. I think it's their C shares referred to the Credit Opportunities Fund. And basically, this is an SME lending business, but it's a tough gig. You know, they're not a bank, so they don't have the low funding cost that a bank enjoys. They need to go and effectively lend out equity and wholesale funding that they've managed to raise in the market, or, you know, debt from other places. And that's not easy. And to top it all off, and this is where I still have a lot of respect for what they're trying to do, is they're trying to be able to lend to SMEs at very, very affordable rates compared to the banks. So mean, you can do the maths yourself, right? If the bank has got a cheap cost of funding, they lend out at a higher rate than the Altvest Credit Opportunities Fund, then obviously the bank margins are a lot bigger on a loan than they can manage at Altvest. How will Altvest manage to therefore compete and become profitable? Well, they'll have to scale like crazy, and they're going to have to be extremely efficient. In the latest earnings for their Credit Opportunities Fund, I wasn't super thrilled to see the increase in expenses relative to revenue. So what you typically want to see now is that their expenses grow by a modest amount, because you're kind of hoping that they've got their minimum competence in place. And then revenue does the typical hockey stick and out comes some profits. It's not really happening at the moment. They are still losing money. The losses are not coming down at anywhere near a fast enough rate for my liking. So it remains a highly speculative, risky thing, huge ambition, big dreams, all of the things that are features of entrepreneurship. But like I say, it's just rare to see a company like this being built in public. And it's very difficult because unfortunately, the ugly years where money gets lost, et cetera, it's all visible for everyone to see. And that makes it harder to keep investors interested.
You'll also forgive us if we take an unusual interest in media listings, of which in South Africa there aren't many. But eMedia Holdings is buying 30% in Pristine World Holdings. And it suddenly seems like there's some activity over at eMedia, despite being a little lethargic in the last few years. Give us more.
No need to apologize there. For obvious reasons, I certainly share your interest in what goes on in media companies in South Africa. And eMedia has suddenly sprung into the headlines. You're right. I always joke about all the reruns of Anaconda. I've no idea if that happens anymore on ETV. I really hope it doesn't. I feel like they beat that thing to death, both the snake and the movie. But anyway, what are they doing over at eMedia? Well, they've done a deal with Remgro, where Remgro put some money in and got some shares in eMedia Holdings, the N shares, to add to Remgro's existing stake, and then unbundled the whole lot to Remgro shareholders, who I suspect looked at this and went, no, thank you, we don't want that, and have been selling them in the market. Now, here's the really interesting thing, is that eMedia, in addition to this deal, which I'll talk about now with Pristine World, they actually announced that they've been buying back shares in the market, and they've bought them back nice and cheap. And I think what's happened there is they've just mopped up the liquidity from the Remgro unbundling. So they've got to be a little bit careful, because obviously you don't want a situation where you take the liquidity out the market and then you end up with an illiquid N share all over again. But at the same time, if you can repurchase your shares on the cheap at a nice low multiple, then, you know, why not? Speaking of low multiples, that is not a feature of this Pristine World deal. And that is my one overarching concern with it. So they are investing in an offshore company that does visual effects services to the global film and television markets. I mean, fair enough, pretty obvious synergy there. They're obviously looking to offer more of these services to their own advertisers, producers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I completely understand that point. But here's where it gets less than ideal. They're buying a 30% stake. Now, listed companies, generally speaking, should control their underlying assets. You always have to be a little bit nervous when you start seeing stuff like significant minority holdings. That's not really what listed companies are for. That is how fund managers behave when they allocate capital. Now, in this case, 30% is at least a meaty stake, but there's no indication in the announcement that they have what would be called a pathway to control. In other words, a way to get that to over 50%. And that's typically what I would want to see here. And that is missing. So it's the one concern that I have. Here's the other concern that I have. So in the announcement, they've given us an indication of the value of the stake. So they will be paying around 119 million rand for it. So that's not a small transaction at all. And if you have a look at the net asset value of the business, they are basically paying their share of the NAV. So again, fair enough. But now comes the challenge, which is net profit. Now, the announcement gives a profit number for 9 months, not 12 months, and then doesn't give any indication of seasonality in the business. So that's a bit frustrating, because now I have no idea if the correct thing to do is to just annualize the 9-month number and say, okay, well, we assume profits are earned smoothly through the year. So if you know the 9-month number, you can therefore get a good estimate of the 12-month number. If it's a very seasonal business and those last 3 months make all the difference, then obviously this guess could be very wrong. But all I can do is work with what they put in the announcement. And if you do that, then it goes up to a price earnings multiple of around 9, which feels like quite a lot for a non-controlling stake. You would typically pay a premium of at least another 20% on top of that if it's a controlling stake. So if they bought control, they would probably have needed to part with a PE or certainly in double digits, you know, probably more like 10 and a half, 11. So that seems like quite a meaty valuation. And I'm glad they've done these share repurchases as a bit of a balance for that. I've spoken to a few value investors who seem to be quite excited about eMedia at the moment based on where the valuation is and some of the activity that they're seeing. But yeah, for me, what they're paying here for Pristine World, a little bit of a red flag. I sincerely hope that they're not overpaying for this asset.
Now, you didn't think you'd escape without talking about Trustco, did you? So Trustco have found themselves in trouble again. A fine of 5 million rand on the company, plus public censure, i.e. the JSE coming out and saying they've done this and that Trustco have been naughty. Have they been naughty? And are these steps justified, do you think?
Every time I see a Trustco sends announcement, I think of you, Gary. I don't know if that's weird for you or good, but that's where we're at. Because I know you're going to ask me about Trustco when we have this conversation. And yes, they are in the naughty corner once again. Public censure, fine of 5 million rand. And Trustco and the JSE, it's like those family members who fight every Christmas. Like, you know it's going to happen. It's going to suck. No one's going to really understand why people behave like this. Right? And in this case, it's just another bit of, I guess, just Trustco not respecting the fact that they are a listed company that has to follow the rules. I mean, that's the truth of it. I chuckle every time I see them talk about their plans to go and list in the US, because if you think the JSE is a tough regulator with teeth, then you should try the Americans. You don't want to mess with them. But anyway, we'll see what happens when and if that happens. The issue here is that back in 2022, the JSE basically says that Trustco subsidiaries entered into a transaction with a counterparty that gave that counterparty the option to subscribe for shares in Mayer Mining. And it was a Category 1 transaction, which would require a circular and shareholder approval. And the JSE says, well, Trustco went ahead and did it anyway without actually going through the process. I think the bit that is particularly concerning is that the JSE says that to date, Trustco has not issued a circular at all. So this deal happened a couple of years back and it's just never gone to shareholders, which is, you know, if that's all true, is very, very poor. And the fine is 5 million bucks. But again, if what this is what the JSE says it is, which is basically circular should have gone out, company didn't do it, shareholders should have voted, company didn't do it. It's just blatant disregard for the rules, if that's exactly how it went down, in which case a 5 million rand fine is nowhere near enough, because the truth of it is that the cost of compliance and actually following the rules is more than that. So you've got to have a fine that is punitive. Otherwise, it just becomes a, you know, issue of like, well, I'll just pay the fine, you know, don't worry about it. It's a cost of doing business. You know, it's an irritation. Can't create that kind of environment on the market. So yeah, never a dull moment, hey, at Trustco.
All right, guys, thank you as always for your insights. Remember, you can catch this podcast wherever you pick up your podcasts, on Apple, Spotify, Android. Thank you for making us Namibia's number one business podcast. And remember, you can listen to all of our previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts and also on the website at tbr.com.na. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.